Nechbadim, Moray v'Rabotai. As I welcome you to the second annual Hausman Stern Kinus Tshuva and wish you all a Gemar Chesima Tova, Shnas Chaim v'Shalom.
This year tonight, as you all know, deals with the Indian of Soira Mishaleach. The Rambam, in Kalet Milcheshtube Halochabei, says as follows: Soira Mishaleach, Lifishahu Kapor al Kol Yisrael, King Godu Misvalov, Alishain Kol Yisrael, Shenema Visvadolov, Veskol Avenis Ne Yisrael. Soir HaMishtaleach Mechapir al kol avere shebateo Hakaleis veachmureis Bein shov abizodein, bein shov abizgogo Bein shehoidalei, bein shaloi hoidalei Hakeo mischapir bisoir HaMishtaleach Vihu shoosa tshuvo Avol im loy osa tshuvo Ein asoir mechapile yela lakaleis Umayin akaleis, umayin achmureis Achmureis ein shechayobim aliyem misazbezden ikores ושבועס שוב ושקר, אף על פי שאין בהם קורס, הרי הם מן החמורס. ושור מצווס ליצס ומצווס עשי, שאין בהם קורס, הם הקליס. Briefly, the Rambam paskens that סויר המשלח, בזמן שבסמידש הוא יקיים, בזמן הזה, where there is no סויר המשלח, and in Kippur בפני עצמי, so the Rambam doesn't pasken like Rebbe. Rebbe שיטי is that in Kippur, even without Soir HaMishaleach is mechaper al kol avir shebatir o kalis chmuris mefabris galiponin batir so and the upirikeo but the Rambam paskens like the Rabbonon of Rebbe that Soir HaMishaleach that Tim Kippur without Soir HaMishaleach without Tshuva is not Mechaper for any of us not Chmureis and not even Kalis however Bisman Shebisamidosh Kayom so the Rambam paskens even though he paskens like the Rabbonon of Rebbe but even according to Rabbonon of Rebbe Bisman Shebisamidosh Kayom the Soir HaMishaleach is Mechaper and Chmureis only with tshuve, but on kaleis, soir mishtaleach is mechaper even without tshuve. What is chmureis, what is kaleis? So chmureis is krisis, Mrs. Besden, and the iser of lisiso, even though it does not involve chiyuv kores or mise, but still it's chmureis, and sholeis ese, and ese is kaleis. So the Shittas Rambam is the Tzoyer HaMishaleach is Mechaper and Kalis without Tshuva. So the question is against the Rambam that this Rambam is contrary to the Gemara in Shavuos. Now the Mishnah in Shavuos Mishnah in Shavuos, the base on the base says that al sor avir shebateo hakalis veachmureis hasdinis veashgogeis heida veloheida ese veloisese krisis mrs. Besden soir HaMishaleach mechaper the soir HaMishaleach mechaper on all avirs so the Gemara daf yudveis on the base raises the question The Mishnah says, "Ese veleisese, soir HaMishaleach is mechaper. Hay ese heichadome. Idle of tshuve, if a certain person did not do tshuve for the bitul mitzvah asei zevach b'shoim teibo, how could he have kapore for soir HaMishaleach? There is a aloche of zevach b'shoim teibo. Idle of tshuve, and if he did tshuve, so then it's not zevach b'shoim, but kol yimen amen." So without Soir HaMishaleach, he has full kapore. Ditanye over al mitzvah v'yoso tshuve lo yizoz mishom ha'tshemechum. So So with tshuva, even without Tzeir HaMashiach, yes, kapore. So why does the Mishnah mention that Tzeir HaMashiach is mechapas monefshach? If he didn't do tshuva, how can Tzeir HaMashiach be mechapas? If he did tshuva, so who needs the tshuva? I mean, if he did the tshuva, who needs the Tzeir HaMashiach? So the Gemara gives the teretz, Omar Rav Zeire, be'emei b'nir dei, that the Mishnah is reference to the case where he didn't do tshuva. But then you ask the question, if he didn't do tshuva, so there is halacha of zevach lishon teibo. This Mishnah accords with Rebbe. The Rebbe, the Tanya Rebbe Eimir al kol avire shebateiro, bein osa tshuva, bein lo yosa tshuva, yim akipurim chaper, chutz mi perikeilu, mgalponim bateiro, umeif abriz biboso, shim osa tshuva, yim akipurim chaper, vim lavin akipurim chaper. So briefly, the Gemara says that this Mishnah that says that Tzeir HaMashiach is mechaper anese has reference to the case where he didn't do tshuva. And the question was, if he didn't do tshuva, so zevach l'shem teivo, but the Mishnah accords with Rebbe. The implication being that according to Rabbon of Rebbe, this is inconceivable, that one should have kapore even for an essay without tshuva, because of zevach l'shem teivo. Rebbe, according to Rebbe, there is a special halacha that Yom Kippur and Tzeir HaMashiach is mechaper without tshuva. But according to Rabbon of Rebbe, it's inconceivable that Tzeir HaMashiach should be mechaper without tshuva. And still, the Rambam doesn't pasken like Rebbe. The Rambam paskens like Rabbonon, and he paskens that the Tzeir HaMashiach can be mechaper for all kalis, for essen leisese. So it's contrary to the Gemara in Shavuos. That's the kasha that everybody raises against the Rambam. Now, there is a Gemara in Zvochim Dav Zayin. I forgot to mention that small piece of Gemara in the Maron Ginis. It's a small piece of Gemara, a few lines. There the Gemara in Zvochim Dav Zayin says that Oilo michaperes alese valuise se shenita klese. That the korb meilo is michaper for the avere of bit lese and luise se shenita klese. So there the Gemara has the same kash. Hai ese hei chadome. I dil loyoso tshuve zevach risho in teir. Vi di ose tshuve kol yim in ame. The Amrinon over Alese Luizos Mishbosa Chuve Luizos Mishom Ache Mechonle. So the Gemara says, Leilom de Ose Chuve. And then your kashi is, if Ose Chuve, who needs the Elo? Enochname, we don't need the Elo. But the Elo is a Duren, like a Matone. So, in other words, so he can have Kapore without the Elo if he does Chuve, but it's as a Duren. So this Gemara says in effect that even if a Jew is either an Nesse only, not a Lafshi Gemalkis, so he already comes within the Gzeres HaKosuf of Zevach Rishon Deib. The Halacha of Roshe has a certain bearing upon other questions, upon Psuleides. So in respect to Psuleides, who is considered the Rosh to be Psuleides? Only Avira Shivimalkis, Kores, Mrs. Besden, or Avira of Chomos, like Ganev, Gazlem, or Beribis, like Yashechat. But any other Avira, if somebody doesn't put on tefillin, he's not Psuleides. But in respect to the Halacha of Zevach Rishon Teivo, we see from the Gemara in Zvochim and from this Gemara that even Mivatel Nese comes within, until he does tshuva, it comes within the Gzeres HaKosuf of Zevach Rishon Deiv. So the Mishnah Malach raises the question, others too. Now, the Gemara in Chulin and the Gemara in Heryes say that a Mume Alichilev can bring a Korban and Dam. If someone is a mumer and chilev, he cannot bring a korban and chilev, because mikem leitz is a mumer, or because he's not shob midiose, whatever the reason is. But if somebody is a mumer to chilev, he can bring a korban and dam. because in dam is not imunda. But if there is aloch of zevach rishoyim, or if somebody is in chalshad v'faresia, or if rabizore, so then he cannot bring any call. But if somebody is imuna lechilev, he is not mufke of bringing a korban and dam. But according to the Gemara in Zvoch and the Gemara in Shavuos, that even if somebody is either an esse, he comes within the aloche of Zevach Rishoyim Teivo, so how could a mumer and chilev bring a korban and dam Zevach Rishoyim Teivo, even if he is just mivatel an esse, is considered a roshe under the Gzeras HaKosuf of Zevach Rishoyim Teivo. Certainly if he's either an Isa Kores of Chilev, so he should be considered as a Roshe under the Gzeras HaKosuf of Zevach Rishoyim Teivo. How is he capable of bringing the Korban for them? That's the Kasha Mishulmach. Well, there is a very simple Teretz. From the Gemara in Shavuos here, and from the Gemara in Zvochim, we see that Zevach Rishoyim Teivo does not imply that a Roshe cannot bring the Korban. There is no such halacha. On the contrary, the Gemara in Chun says that Peshi is mikabling korbanos mipeshi Yisrael, and that's the halacha that in Mum al-Chilev we can be mikabli korban and dam only if it's Mum al-Chat al-Kule, but Mum al-Dabarechot, not Leisi Dobor, we can be mikabli korban. So there is no halacha that a Roshe is not a bahoche of bringing home. The halacha of Zevach Rishoyim Teivo is that the roshe is mufke of kapore fuko. That's the Gzeras HaKosuf of Zevach Rishoyim Teivo. That the roshe is mufke of kapore fuko. Not that the roshe is mufke for other chas v'sholem. Let's say somebody is a roshe. He is a numer in chil. He is a roshe in chil Shabbos. He is a roshe in chilev in dam. Many averes, and then he does tshuve for chil Shabbos, but he doesn't do tshuve for chilev for dam for bosav cholov. So he still remains a roshe in the averes of chilev dam bosav cholov. But if he does tshuve for Shabbos, so he gets kapore for the avere of Shabbos. If he does tshuve for the avera of chilef and does not do tshuve for chil Shabbos, so then he gets kapore for the avera of chilef. So there is no halacha a roshe is moved of kapore. Chas v'sholem, a roshe can also have kapore, but there is a halacha that a roshe cannot have kapore for the avera in which is a roshe. And the raya is not that the roshe cannot be made ikom. The raya is from our gemara in Shavuos. The gemara is the kashe. The mishnah in Shavuos says that shoy am shaliach mechapir al esev al eisis. So I esir hadome. If the halacha of zevach rishoyim teivo had been that the roshe cannot bring ikom, the shoy am shaliach is his korban yochid. The Seiram Shaliach is not brought by him as a Yochid, as an individual. It is Bishleim the Gemara in Zvochim. So when an individual, a Yochid, brings the Korban Eilo, so it's his Korban. But here, it's a Korban Tzibur, the Seiram Shaliach. It's a Korban Bechutz, the Seiram Shaliach. But it's a Tzibur. The Tzibur is maybe the Korban. Of course, the King Godel is Mikayim the Mitzvah of Shiluach Soyer, and he does all the mitzvahs of the Agole and everything. But the Korban is a Korban Tzibur, it's a Korban Chutzri Tzibur. He is not a Meivi. So just because one Jew is a Roshe in Avir of an Ese, he cannot have a Kapore. So we see from this Gemara that the Aloch of Zevach Rishoyim Teivo is not that a Roshe is a Nati Bahochet bring Kom. A Roshe is a Bahochet bring Kom. But a Roshe cannot have Kapore through Kom for the Avir in which is a Roshe. That's the Gzeras HaKosuf of Zevach Rishoyim Teivo. So then the question still arises, how can we say, the Gemara says so in Chum and in Heris, that Mumalech Chilev can bring the Korban Chatos for Dam, but after all, why is the Chatos brought? for the sole purpose of being mechaper, of getting kapore for the avere of eating, let's say, dam b'sheyik. But if he's a mumalach chilef, so he's a roshe, how can he have kapore? Roshe cannot have kapore to korban. He can have other kapores, but not kapore to korban. So the answer is, when the Gemara says, and it's mashma from Loshna Rambam in Lechesh Goges, that mumalach chilef can bring the korban for dam, it has reference to the case where he was a mumalach chilef at the time he ate the dam. Now at the time of the avoye di tshuve. So that, but if he's a mumalach chilef, even if he does tshuve for the avoye of chilef, he still cannot bring the korban. Because Mikem Leitz is a mumer, or because of he's not Ishob Midiose. So in as much as he was a mumer at the time of the Avere, so Mele he cannot bring the korban even if he does tshuve. Mashenkin, if he's mumer lachel chilef, and now he did tshuve for the chilef, and he wants to bring the korban for dam. So Mimele, he's not a Rosh now at the time of the Avoye, so he can have Kapore for the Avir of Dam, even though he's a Rosh. But the Gzeres HaKosuf of Zevach Rishoyin Teivo is that the Rosh cannot have Kapore for Kol. A Rosh can have Kapore for Yom Kippur, for Tshuve, for all kinds of Mechaprim. But the Rosh cannot have Kapore for Kol. That's the Gzeres HaKosuf of Zevach Rishon Teivo. Now, we have to understand the Gemara as the Kashe. I mean, that might sound like a Maram Shif's Kashe, but nothing wrong with asking a Maram Shif's Kashe. So not that Maram Shif has that Kashe, but it's along the derech of the Maram Shif. The Makshe as the Kashe, Hay Esei Chadome, Idi. Ide lo yosi tshuve zevach rishoyin teivo. Vide osi tshuve afil kol yimin ame di tanye ovar alese vi osi tshuve lizoz mishom ashe mechulei. So the Tarts give the Teretz hoche maaskinon beimid bin omar abzeire beimid bin omar maaskinon beimid bin miyode. So then yel zevach rishoyin teivo rabbi. So I am going to ask a kashe that befits the Maram Shif. In other words, why did the Makshe ask this kashe? Didn't the Makshe understand this, that we could say that the Mishneh accords with the view of Rebbe? I mean, the Makshe certainly understood that the Mishneh, many times a Mishneh mentions a certain din that does not accord with the view of the Chachomim, the Rabbanon, but it accords with the view of one Tani Yochid. So the Makshe could have understood that this Mishneh accords with the view of Rebbe, Mimele, there is a halacha that Tzoyram Yom Kippur or Tzoyram Shaliach can be mechaper even without tshuva. So why did the Makshe ask? That's along the derech of the Maram Shif. Now, so I think that there is a very simple teretz. The Gemara's teretz is, Rav Zeira's teretz is, that this Mishneh calls with the view of Rebbe. And it has reference to the case where he didn't do tshuva, beimid b'miyodei. But you ask, Zevach Rishon Teivo? According to Rebbe, there is no taine of Zevach Rishon Teivo. What does it mean? According to Rebbe, there is no aloche of Zevach Rishon Teivo. Where do we find that Rebbe is chilek on the aloche of Zevach Rishon Teivo? That we don't find. It appears, it seems, that the aloche of Zevach Rishon Teivo, that the Roshe is mufke of kapore through korban, is considered by everybody. Rebbe is also made it that there is aloche of Zevach Rishon Teivo. This is posik mishlei Zevach Rishon Teivo. So, what's the teretz of Rabbi Zeira? Beimid b'miyodei v'Rabbi. So the kashi is against Rebbe, all right. So how does Rebbe say that Tzoyer HaMishtariach can be mechapeir without tshuve, Zevach Rishon Teivo? So the answer is this, that from this Gemara it appears appears from the Gemara Staretz, it appears that when Soyer Mishtaliach is Mechapeya, so it's not that the Soyer Mishtaliach per se is Mechapeya. The Soyer Mishtaliach itself is Mechapeya. Soyer Mishtaliach itself is not Mechapeya. Mechapeya is Innkeeper. Mechapeya is Innkeeper. So you ask, if Innkeeper is the Mechapeya, so who needs the Soyer Mishtaliach? So even Bizman Hazeh, so Innkeeper is Mechapeya. The answer is, Innkeeper is always the Mechapeya. Bein Bizman Hazeh, Bein Bizman Shebishamidosh Kayom. But there are certain situations where Innkeeper Bizman Shebishamidosh Kayom cannot be Mechapeya. But there are other Averes where Innkeeper can be Mechapeya as long as in the day of Yom HaKippurim the kiyum of Shiluach Soyer was Niskayim. So in other words, the kiyum HaMitzvah of Shiluach Soyer is a tnai in the Kapora of Yom HaKippurim. Now Teisves Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis says at the end, and there is one Loshen Teisves to the contrary, but Teisves at the end in the Yud Gimel Amud Beis says, he mentions in Yerushalmi that Innkeeper Bizman Hazeh is only Mechapeya B'Seifayim, but not before the Seifayim. In other words, if a certain Jew had the number of Averes and he unfortunately died before the sunset of Innkeeper, so Innkeeper cannot be Mechapeya. If he did tshuva, so then the tshuva is mechaper, and the misa is mechaper. But if he dies before shkia, so Innkeeper cannot be mechaper, because only the seif hayeim of Innkeeper is mechaper. Ma sheinkim bizman shebishamikdash kayom. So if a Jew, let's say, committed in the course of the year many, many averes, and then let's say the Shiluach Soyer took place, let's say at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So, and he died at 3, but a number of hours before Shkia, so then he has Kapor. So he has Kapor. So Mimele, that's an Aftimine, where the Kapore is supplied by the Yinkip, by the Itzumi Shalyeim itself, without the Kiyum of Shiluach Soyer, or the Kapore is supplied by the Yom HaKippurim coupled with the Kiyum of the Shiluach Soyer by the King God. But when the Nafkimine is in respect to a person who died before the Shkia of Yom HaKippurim, so then he cannot have the Kapore of Yom HaKippurim Bizman Hazeh. But Bizman Shebis HaMidosh Kayom, if he died after the Shiluach Soyer, so then the Innkeeper is Mechapeya. So then the Innkeeper is Mechapeya. And we see Teisves, Daf Yud Gimel. I don't want to go over the whole Teisves. The whole Teisves, Daf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph, Dibur HaMaschil, Deova Tzomuch Lishkeh Sachamo. But Teisves in one Loshen says that there is a special chiddush in the Kapora of Yom Shaliach, that if, let's say, a Jew, let's say, ate an Innkeeper itself, and, or he did other averes an Innkeeper itself, an Innkeeper itself. So, and Yitchilev, besides eating an Innkeeper, so Yitchilev also, other averes, and then he did tshuve, and Bizman Shebeis HaMikdosh Kayom, even if the averes of eating an Innkeeper, of doing Meloch an Innkeeper, or doing other averes an Innkeeper, took place after the Shiluach Soyer, so then the Shiluach Soyer is Mechapeya for the averes he did not as yet commit at the time of the Shiluach Soyer. Let's say Shulach Soya took place at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and he did the Averis at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So then the Shulach Soya is mechaper. So Tesfer says the Kashi, how can Korban be mechaper for Averis that were not done as yet? And that's a Gemara Mefreshes in Shavuos, that a Korban can never be mechaper for Averis that were not done at the time of the Averis Korban. So he says, Soir HaMishaliach is unique. Why is Soir HaMishaliach unique? The answer is because the Kapore of Soir HaMishaliach is not a Kapore by the Soir HaMishaliach itself. The ultimate mechaper is Yom Kippur. So you ask Yom Kippurim, so who needs the Soir HaMishaliach? So the Nafkemines, when the Yom Kippurim by itself, when the Kiyum of Shiluach Soya was not Mikayim in the day, so then it's not Mechapeya. And when the Kiyum of Shiluach Soya was realized on the Yom Kippurim, so then the Yom Kippurim is Mechapeya. For example, that not only without Tshuva, So Yom Kippurim cannot be mechaper. We don't pass like Rebbe. But even with Tshuva, Yom Kippur cannot be mechaper Kapor Gmura for all Averis. Yom Kippur can only be mechaper for Leisesis, but not for Christus and Mrs. Bezdin, not for Chilul Hashem. In other words, if somebody was ever Averis of Christus and Mrs. Bezdin, if somebody was ever an Averis of Chilul Hashem, so Tshuva together with Yom Kippur are not Mechaper Kapor Gmura. So that's only Bizman Hazeh. But Bizman Shebizman Yishkayim, the Rambam says that if he did Tshuva, so the Soir HaMishaliach is Mechaper Kapor Gmura, all Averis. It's a lois, it's a crisis, it's a bezl, Hashem, everything. So mail it's an aftermine. But when the Soir HaMishaliach is mechaper, together with Tshuva, for all Averis, Kalis, or Chmureis, so it's not, the Avera is not, the Kapore is not affected by the Soir HaMishaliach per se. But the Kapore is affected by Yom Kippur. Yom Kippurim can be mechaper even without the realization and the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shiluach Soya. So then it can be mechaper only b'seifayim and only for certain averes, for Eseleses, not for Christus and Mrs. Bez, not for Chilash. And if the mitzvah of Shiluach Soya was fulfilled in the Yom Kippurim, so then the Yom Kippurim is mechaper for all Averis. But the ultimate mechaper is not the Soir HaMishaliach per se. The ultimate mechaper is the Yom Kippurim. But the Kiyum HaMitzvah of Shiluach Soya is a tnai, is a condition precedent, effectiveness and the chaleis kapore, but the ultimate mechaper is Yom Kippurim, not the Soir HaMishaliach per se. So now we can understand this why Tesfos mentions in one lotion such a striking chiddush that Soir HaMishaliach is an exception. General principle in respect to all korbanos is that the korban couldn't be mechaper for an avera that is performed after avos korban. I mean, that's inconceivable. But Soir HaMishaliach can be mechaper for averas that are done after the Shiluach Soya. Shiluach Soya takes place at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the averas are done at 3 o'clock, so the Soir HaMishaliach can be mechaper. It's an exception. Why is it an exception? Because every other korban, so the korban per se is a mechaper. How could the korban be mechaper for averes that were not as yet done at the time of the avoy? Masha'in ki Soir HaMishaliach, so it's not that the Soir HaMishaliach is the mechaper. The Soir HaMishaliach is not the mechaper. The ultimate mechaper is the Yom Kippurim. The Yom Kippurim can be mechaper without the kiyum of shiluach soya. But they are not minutes. Without the kiyum of shiluach soya, let's say bisman has, so it can only be mechapa b'seifayim. It cannot be mechapa in the middle of the day. And if he dies before the sunset of Yom Kippurim, so he has no kapara. The shluach soya was fulfilled in the day, so every moment of the day, not only the moment of the seif hayim, every moment of is capable to mechaper. And another afkemine, if there is no kiyum of shluach soya like bisman hazeh, so then Yom Kippurim is only mechaper for S and Lace, say, but not for Chrisus and Mrs. Bezdin. Chrisus and Mrs. Bezdin require Chil Hashem, require Yisurim. Chil Hashem requires Mise to be mechaper kaporeg more. Mashein king, if the Shiluach Soya was fulfilled in the day of Yom Kippurim, so then the Yom Kippurim is mechaper for all Averes. But the ultimate mechaper is not the Soya HaMishtaliach. Soya HaMishtaliach cannot be mechaper. It's the Yom Kippurim. But the Kiyum HaMitzvah of Shiluach Soya is a tnai in the effectiveness of the Kapore. Now it's a condition precedent to the effectiveness of the Kapore that the King Godel, as the Shliach of Klal Yisrael, should fulfill the Mitzvah of Shiluach Soya. If he does fulfill the mitzvah shliach soya, then the ultimate mechaper is the aim. Some melechist says in Loshen, even the averes that are performed after the shliach soya, so are also mechuper. So now we can answer this Maram Shif kind of kash. I asked, why did the Makshin ask, "Hi, esei chadame"? So Rav Zera says, but yes, Zevach Rishon Teivo, it calls with Rebbe. So why didn't the Makshin understand that this Mishneh could accord with the view of Rebbe? The answer is the Makshin. That was the question that was involved between. That was an issue between the Makshin and Tarzan. The Makshin, when he asked that Kashi, Ayesh Redome, he took it for granted that Tzoyer HaMishtaliach is Mechaper by itself. That Tzoyer HaMishtaliach by itself is Mechaper. So it's a Kapore through Korban. If it's a Kapore through Korban, then we have to say, we have to apply the Aloha of Zevach Rishon Teivo. Because there is exhaust a cause of Zevach Rishon Teivo, that the Roshe is Mufke from Kapore for Korban. But the Tarsin said, Rav Zira said, no, it's not as you assumed that the Kapore of Tzoyer HaMishtaliach operates by the Tzoyer HaMishtaliach per se. No. There is no Kapore supplied by the Tzoyer HaMishtaliach per se. The ultimate Mechaper is in Yom Kippurim. But you ask, Yom Kippurim can be Mechaper without recourse to the kiyum of shliach soya. So there are certain situations where the mitzvah of shliach soya was not fulfilled in the day, so then the Yom Kippurim cannot be mechaper. So, but only if the mitzvah of shliach soya was realized, so then the Yom Kippurim is mechaper. But the ultimate mechaper is the Yom Kippurim, not the korban. So Mele, the halacha of Zevach Rishon Teivo has no application, because the Gzeras HaKosov of Zevach Rishon Teivo has only application to a case where the Korban per se is the Mechaper. So that's the Gzeras HaKosov of Zevach Rishon Teivo. A Korban of the Roshi cannot be Kapore for a Roshi. As long as he remains a Roshi, Korban cannot be Mechaper. That's the Gzeras HaKosov. But Yom Kippur can be mechaper him, even though he's still a Roshe. So Mimele, this is what Rav Zera says. The Mishneh accords with Rebbe, so, and the Mishneh's reference to the case where he didn't do Tshuve. So yes, Zevach Rishon Teivo, no, it's not that the Tzoyer HaMishtaliach per se is the mechaper. The ultimate mechaper is the Yain. So even the Roshi can have kapora through the day. But here there is a loche that the kium of Shiluach Soir is a condition preceding to the effectiveness of the kapora by the aim. But the aim can be mechaper even for a Roshi. So now we can answer the kapora. Because what the Rambam fastens that Soiram Shaleach was mechaper for kaleises and loises even without tshuve. So the kasheve is by everybody against the Rambam that this is contrary to Gemara and Shvuos, because the Gemara and Shvuos is the kashe hayesir chedome ilosit tshuve zevach reshon teilo vilosit tshuve b'chol yiminame omar abzeira v'imid miyode v'rebi. But according to Rabbanon, we cannot say ilosit tshuve that is mechaper. So, but the Rambam paskens like the Rabbonon, and still he paskens Soiram Shaleach is mechaper. So the answer is because when the Gemara and the Makshin is the kashe hayesir chedome idlo yosit tshuve zevach reshon teivo, so why did the Makshin ask, and why didn't the Makshin understand what the Tarzan said? The answer is because the Makshin assumed that the kapore of Soiram Shaleach operates through the Soiram Shaleach per se. So mele, we have to apply the principle of Zevach Reshon Teivo. But the Tarzan said, no, it's not as you assumed that the kapore of the Soiram Shaleach operates through the kapore of the Soiram Shaleach per se. The kapore of Soiram Shaleach operates through the kapore by the aim. But the kium of Shiluach Soir is a tnai, is a condition preceding to the effectiveness of the kapore by the Yom HaKippurim. So mele, the Gzeras HaKosuv of Zevach Reshon Teivo is no application. So now, of course, we pass like Rav Zeire that the kapore of Soiram Shaleach operates not through the Soiram Shaleach per se, but through the ultimate mechaper of the Yom HaKippurim. But the Shiluach Soir is only a tnai, a condition preceding to the effectiveness of the kapore by the aim. Some Meile, even Meroshe, can have the kapore for the aim. This is the end of the halacha. The hashkofe I decided to write out. And the reason being because I don't want to trespass on the boundaries of time. There is a law in the Torah, Lusasik Vul Reacho. One is not allowed to trespass upon the boundaries of space. And according to Einstein, so time is fourth dimension. So mele, one is not allowed to trespass upon the boundaries of time. And as far as halacha is concerned, I've been giving shiurim in halacha so many years, almost every day in the week, for so many years, for so many decades, so I know how to limit something myself within certain limits. But as far as Ashkofi is concerned, I don't trust myself. So without writing it out, I couldn't be mitzamtzim myself. And I definitely would trespass upon the boundaries of time. That I don't want to do. The Gemara in Yume Daf Samar Zayin says, Tono Rabbon, es mishpotai ta'asu, אילו דבורים שילמולי נכתיבו, דינו שיכתיבו, ואילו הם, אבידי זורי, בגלו הרייס ושפיכוס דומים, ויגזלו לברכס השם. משפוטים is descriptive of those mitzvahs and loisaseis that are dictated by common sense and by human ethical conscience. like Avrizoreg, Larayesh, Rudom, and Gezel, Birk Hashem. Eschukei Saitishmeu, Chukim, is descriptive of those commandments in the Torah that human logic does not dictate. As it is called, you know, there is an expression in Latin, malum per se and malum prohibitum. There are certain obligations that are bad in themselves, whether it is commanded or not commanded by law, is bad. Lois Yotzach. And if there hadn't been a Lois Yotzach, would it be a nice thing to commit murder? So that's malum per se. So that's mishpotim. And then chukim, that's malum prohibitum. Chil Shabbos. If the Torah had not forbidden Chil Shabbos, there would be nothing wrong in doing Melacha on Shabbos. Why shouldn't someone do Melacha on Shabbos just as he's allowed to do Melacha on any other day of the week? But the Ribbono Shel forbade it. So it is osir, because it is forbidden. So that's chukim. Es chukisai tishmeru dvorim sheyitzrara mikatrik aleihem. The evil inclination in man tends to criticize the chukim. The only seilom mishivin aleihem. I am quoting it according to the Gils of the Rach, because in our text it's not mentioned the only seilom mishivin aleihem. The only seilom mishivin aleihem, and the nations of the world constantly challenge us in respect to the chukim of the Torah. Ve'ilohim achilas chazir u'vishashatnes u'chlitzas yivome v'taras mitzere v'soyra mishtaleach. So soyra mishtaleach is comprised within the category of chukim. V'shemo teima amasit ilohim. They're not so important. After all, they're not dictated by human reason. Talmud leimer ani adishem. Ani adishem chokaktiv v'in lecho rishus laharbe. Whether one understands it with his logic, with his intellect or not, we are not allowed to be critical in respect to the chukim. The Ribbono Shel Olam forbade them, the Ribbono Shel Olam commanded them, that's enough. This saying of our sages in effect tells us that the Yetzer Hara and the Umes Elam, the nations of the world, the Gentile nations of the world, criticize the Jewish people and the Jewish Torah for the underlying concept of the law of Soyra Mishalech. The Dumas Eilom are critical of the law of Soyra Mishalech. The law of Soyra Mishalech has become the appellation in the languages of the nations of the world for the concept of vicarious atonement. Vicarious atonement means that the suffering by an innocent being is capable of effecting expiation and atonement for the sins and crimes of the guilty and the wicked. The person or being who is made to suffer in order to atone for the sins of the guilty is designated in the languages of the Umes Ha'ilom, of the nations of the world, all languages. I'm not a linguist, but I take it for granted that the term scapegoat is a term that exists in every language except in Lashon HaKodesh. But today, so in Lashon HaKodesh they also use Soyra Mishtaleach in the sense of scapegoat, because of Vayisavu Vagoyim Vayilmidu Maseh. So the person who is made to suffer in order to atone for the sins of the guilty is designated in the languages of the nations of the world as a scapegoat. Why a scapegoat? Referring to the goat that he sent away to the desert to be hurled down the precipitous cliff, thereby atoning for the sins and crimes of the Israelites. This means that according to the interpretation of the Umis Eilom, vicarious atonement is the underlying concept of the law of Soyram Shaleach. This interpretation, however, is not only erroneous, but it is diametrically opposed to the whole Weltanschauung of Yadus. I just pointed out in the Halacha that there is a special halachic principle of Zevach Rishoyim Teivo, namely, the sacrifice of a wicked person is an abomination. In other words, the notion that an innocent being should be made to suffer in order to accommodate the guilty and the wicked with atonement is an abominable idea. It's an abomination, this notion. Obviously, vicarious atonement is not the underlying concept of the law of Soyram Shaleach. But it should not surprise us that the Umis Eilom have taken such an inaccurate and critical and unsympathetic interpretation of the law of Soyram Shaleach. There are a number of expressions in the languages and cultures of the Gentile nations that are grounded in the prejudices that motivated the minds and the hearts of many Gentile intellectuals. The expression scapegoat is a classic example of an appellation grounded in a background of prejudice against the Jewish people and the Jewish Torah. Another remarkable example is the expression Pharisee. It's an English term, it's an English word, it's a good English word. According to Webster's dictionary, Pharisee is derived from Prussian, the Pharisees in the Baisheni. According to Webster's dictionary, Pharisee has several meanings. I looked it up in the big Webster's dictionary. So one meaning, so big, that now in my condition I could hardly handle it. So I require a lot of perseverance in order to turn the pages in this Webster's dictionary, but I exercised the perseverance and I looked it up. So one meaning is appertaining to a member of a Jewish sect in ancient Judea at the time of the Second Temple. I'm quoting the Lashon of Webster's dictionary. A second meaning is appertaining to one who emphasizes the letter of the law above the spirit of the law. A third meaning of Pharisaic is appertaining to one who is false, manipulative, deceitful, and hypocritical. What else is needed? In other words, this meaning of Pharisaic is grounded in the notion that the Pharisees, the Purshim, the Chachomim, the Tanoim, there are a bunch of hypocrites. Now, but it's still a good English word. If I had been a professor of English composition and if a student would write Pharisaic in the sense of hypocritical, I wouldn't be able to mark him wrong. As in spite of the fact that I would be tempted. Speech is descriptive of a person who overflows with the milk of human kindness and angelic generosity. In the Jewish tradition, the Samaritans are known as the prototypes of Sinas Yisrael, of malice and viciousness, whereas in the Christian tradition and Christian theology, the Samaritans are considered as the symbols of angelic kindness and altruistic generosity. Obviously, this inaccurate interpretation of Soyer HaMishtaleach should not surprise us. I think that this unsympathetic interpretation of the law of Soyer HaMishtaleach as the expression for vicarious atonement is a manifestation of the anthropomorphic approach adopted by Christian theologians in conformity to the psychological phenomenon expressed by our sages in the remark of Kol HaPeisel B'Mumei Peisel. Vicarious atonement is repugnant to the Jewish Weltanschauung, but is in conformity to Christian theology. Nay, it is the basis of the Christian faith. There is a certain Gemara in Gittin that in a hidden way, prophetically and poignantly, depicts vicarious atonement as the basis of the Christian faith and as the basis for the millennial hostility and prejudice towards the Jewish people. I'm referring to the Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Zayin. I'm going to read it verbatim and then I'll translate it in the English. Omar Rabchiye Barobin, Omar Rab Yeshua Ben Koch, Soch li zokin echod me'an shi Yerushalayim, Bibiko zu horakni vuzaradon raftabochim, Mosayim v'achas esri ribe, Uv Yerushalayim horak, Tishim v'arba ribe, Aleven achas, אַצ'הול אַרדומן ונוגע בידומן של סחריה, לקיים מה שנאמר, בידומים בידומים נוגו, נוגו, דצי פוסיק אין הישע. אַשכחי לידומי דסחריה דהה וקום ליותך, ויסוליק, אומר מי היי, אמר לי דם זבוכים די שטפח, אייסי דומה ולא ידנה, אומר לו, היא אמרית לי מוטב, וילאב, מסריקני לבשורייך במסריקי דיפרזלי אמר לי מיין המלוך נביא הבבון דה וכמוך חלון במילה דשמיה כמינן לא יביא קטלין לי וכמה שנים דו יקונאי אדומי אמר לו אנו מפייסין לי אייסי סנדר גדי לא אובי סנדר קטנו כותל עלי ולוי נח בחורים ופסולי כותל עלי ולוי נח אייסי תנאי כשו בסרבון כותל עלי ולוי נח אמר לי, שחיה, שחיה, תיבים שבהם איבדתים, ניחה לך, דעדינו וכולי, כי דאמר לי, הוכה נוח, בהוש הייתה, כי ירצו ובידייתה, אמר, ומים על נפש החזקך, ההוא גברה דיקוטו כל הנם שמוסה, על החזקמו וחמו, אורק, אוזו, שודש, תרפחות איתו בבייסי ויגאיה. Now I'll translate into English. Rav Chiya ben Obin said in the name of Rav Yeshua ben Korche, an old man from the inhabitants of Jerusalem told me that in this valley, Nuzaradon, the captain of the guard, killed 211 myriads, that's 2,110,000 Jews, and in Jerusalem he killed 94 myriads, that's 940,000 Jews, on one stone. While their blood went, until their blood went and joined that of Zechariah, Zechariah Novi, to fulfill the words of the prophet, blood toucheth blood. He noticed, Muzaradon, the captain of the guard, noticed the blood of Zechariah bubbling up warm and asked what it was. They said, it is the blood of the sacrifices which has been poured there. He had some blood brought, but it didn't match. He then said to them, if you tell me the truth, well and good, but if not, I'll tear your flesh with combs of iron. They said, what can we say to you? There was a prophet among us who used to reprove us for our impiety, and we rose up against him and killed him, and for many years his blood has not rested. He said to them, I will appease his blood. He brought the great Sanhedrin and the small Sanhedrin, and he killed them over the blood of Zechariah, but the blood did not cease to bubble. He then brought young Jewish men and young Jewish women and slaughtered them over the blood of Zechariah, but the blood did not cease bubbling. He brought school children and slaughtered them over the blood of Zechariah, but the blood still did not cease bubbling. So he said, Zechariah, Zechariah, I have slain the best of them. Do you want me to destroy all the Jews? When he said this to him, it stopped bubbling. Immediately Nebuzaradan felt remorse. He said to himself, if such is the penalty for slaying one soul, what will happen to me who has slain such multitudes, millions of Jews? So he fled away and sent a deed to his house, disposing of his assets, and became a convert, a ger. I think that this story, in a secretive and hidden way, tries to describe prophetically and poignantly the millennial encounter between the Jewish people and the Christian church. The founders of the Christian faith fabricated the story that the Jewish people through the Sanhedrin had executed Yeshu, their alleged prophet and Messiah. As it is pointed out by Rav Menachem Hamiri in his introduction to his Perush HaNovis, the allegation that the Sanhedrin had executed Yeshu is an historical impossibility, not only a historical untruth, but a historical impossibility. Sometimes a person says something that is not true, but it's possible. It happens not to be true. This is a historical impossibility, Harav Menachem Amiri says, for the simple reason that the Gemara says, Arboim shono kedem chobam bisamigdosh golso sanhedrin v'yoshvo bechnuyois v'ubotlu dinni foshes m'Yisrael. So there was no capital punishment at that time when Yeshu was allegedly executed by Sanhedrin. There was no capital punishment. And there is a Yeshu that is mentioned in Misachas Sanhedrin and in Misachas Seito, but that Yeshu was a Talmud of Yeshua ben Prachye, who lived about 150 years before Yeshu, the alleged founder of the Christian faith. However, because of the vicarious atonement concept, the nations of the world in the course of the centuries had punished millions of Jews because of the alleged execution inaccurately and untruly attributed to the Sanhedrin. Millions of Jews were made to suffer in the course of the millennia in order to effect atonement for the alleged sin of executing the Christian Messiah. And because of the vicarious atonement motive serving as the foundation of the Christian faith, Christian theologians in an anthropomorphic manner attributed the vicarious atonement concept to the Jewish people. In line with the psychological phenomenon of Kol HaPeisel B'Mumei Peisel, I think that in this story in Maseches Gittin, our sages are describing the millennial encounter between the Jewish people and the church, with Zaradon being mentioned as a euphemism or code for the church, and Zechariah being mentioned as a euphemism or code for Yeshu. And the remorse by Nebuzaradan is descriptive of the ultimate tshuva that will be done by the nations of the world and by the members of the Christian church. In the end, now the question arises, inasmuch as vicarious atonement is obviously not the underlying concept of the law of Soiram Shaleach, so what is the underlying concept or concepts of Soiram Shaleach? I think that the mitzvah of Soiram Shaleach, while it is a chayik, it symbolically teaches us several lessons. Lesson number one, according to our sages, the two seerim that the King Godel offers as sacrifices on Yom HaKippurim correspond with the two goats that Yaakov Avinu, under the guidance of his mother Rivka, prepared as matamim for Yitzchok, as it is written in the Torah in Breishis Perik Chof Zayin Posik Tes, Lechno El Atzein Vikach Li Mishom Shnei Gdoye Yizim Tevin Ve Eseo Yiso Matamim Lo Avicho Kashoi. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory food for thy father, such as he loveth. The Midrash says, Shnei Gdoye Yizim Tevim, Tevim Lecho, V'Tevim Libonecho, Tevim Lecho, She'al Yideyem Atonei Tiles Abroches, Tevim Libonecho, She'al Yodom Mischap Elohem, Dechsiv Kivayim Azeh Yechaper Aleichem. The two goats that Yaakov prepared as savory food for Yitzchok symbolized Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo, or the mundane bounties of life and the spiritual bounties in life. The Torah does not negate or despise the mundane experiences and joys of life. On the contrary, the Torah says, V'yo'after Hashem Elokecho b'chol livovcho, which means, according to Chazal, b'chol livovcho b'shnei yitzrecho, b'yitzoteivu v'yitzerara. One is not allowed to suppress and negate the instincts completely. A Jew is obligated to curb the instincts and to sublimate and sanctify the mundane experiences of life, but not to negate mundane experiences completely. A Nazir is considered a chayte, a sinner, because he denied unto himself the legitimate joys of life. When Yitzchok conferred his blessing upon Yaakov, he said, V'yitin l'cho elikim mital ha-shomayim u'mishmane oretz v'rivdogom v'sireish. May God give thee of the dew of heaven and of the fat places of the earth. And Yom HaKippurim, the King Godel had to be makrif two seerim. One seer was a soil Hashem, symbolizing Elam Abo, or the spiritual bounties in life, and the other soil, the soil Azazel, symbolizing the mundane and material bounties in life. Briefly stated, the first lesson symbolically implied by the Chok of Soiram Shaleach is that in order to attain kapore or salvation, we should not negate Olam Hazeh. As Hasidim say and sing, and Yeshiva Bocharim in Misnag Yeshivas sing just as much. So we should not suppress the instincts completely. We should sublimate and sanctify the mundane. Now the second lesson implied by the law of Shoram Shaleach is that one should not think that only the lifestyle dedicated to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to the Torah, to spirituality, to tzedek and to chesed, requires numerous and multifarious sacrifices. But a lifestyle that is dedicated to the mundane in life does not involve sacrifices. Many Jews decide to abandon the path of Torah, of the path of virtue and spirituality, because of the numerous sacrifices that the spiritual lifestyle involves. They think that by addicting themselves to a mundane, hedonistic, and permissive lifestyle, they will be able to spare for themselves the hardships, the burdens, the troubles, the problems, and the sacrifices that a spiritual lifestyle necessarily entails. They say to themselves, Sholem yeli tivishrius libi eilich. I will have peace of mind if I only walk according to the capriciousness of my heart. The Torah therefore tells the King Godel to sacrifice two seerim. The soil Hashem suffers and his blood is spilled, but his blood, the blood of the soil Hashem, is spilled in the Kiddush HaKadoshim and the Kapeles. The sacrifices of the soil Hashem are not in vain. These sacrifices infuse meaning and content into the life of the Jew. The soil Azazel also suffers, and suffers even more than the soil Hashem. For the soil Hashem is made to die through Shrite, which involves a minimum of pain, whereas the soil Azazel dies a relatively very painful death by being hurled down from the precipitous cliffs in the desert. And what a contrast between the manner in which the blood of the soil Hashem is spilled and the manner in which the blood of the soil Azazel is spilled. The blood of the soil Hashem is spilled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Holy of Holies, and the Kaperes, and the Arkover of the Arena Bris, whereas the blood of the soil Azazel is spilled on the precipitous cliffs in the desert, which is the symbol of waste and infertility. Both lifestyles, the lifestyle of Kedusha and Chesed, as well as the lifestyle of hedonism and profanity and vulgarity and secularism, involve numerous and multifarious sacrifices. However, the lifestyle of Kedusha instills meaning, content, and purpose into one's life, whereas the lifestyle of secularism and profanity instill into life frustration and waste. This is the second lesson of Shoram Shaleach. The third lesson, symbolically implied by the mitzvah of Shoram Shaleach, is that when one person turns out to be virtuous, ethical, and saintly, and another person turns out wicked, vulgar, sinful, and profane, it is not because the physical constitution in one person produced a virtuous and saintly personality, whereas the physical constitution in the other person produced a sinful and criminal personality. Modern people, and even many modern scientists, believe that virtue or vice, saintliness or criminality, are determined exclusively by the genes. The law of Shoram Shaleach tells us that the antithesis of this proposition is the truth. The Mishnah in Yume Daf Samarvei says, Shnei Siyire Yim Akipurim, Mitzvoson Sheyye Shneyem Shovin, Bimareu Vikemo. The two goats of Yim Akipurim both had the same appearance, the same height, and the same physical constitution. They looked alike, as if they had been members of an identical twin. Nevertheless, one goat's destiny was sealed so that it will be dedicated to God and it will be identified with Dushe, Tare, Tzedek, and Chesed, and Rachamim and Cholem. And curiously, the other goat's destiny is sealed so that it is dedicated to the Azazel, which, as the Ramban points out, is symbolic of the Sitra Achre. And it becomes identified with that which is impure, sinful, and wicked. How did it happen? The genes are the same in both goats. Obviously, there is something other than the genes that mold the character and behavior of a person. What is it? It is the choice by the person. Freedom of will. But freedom of will, as Rabbi Nebachye in Chavis Alvove says, does not mean that a person is always free to choose between right and wrong, regardless of the path, group, and orbit in which he finds himself. The Chavis Alvove says there is no such freedom. If a person associates with criminals, he is not free to choose between right and wrong. Freedom of choice, according to Yadus, as Rabbi Nebachye and Chavis Alvovis points out, means that when one is at crossroads in life, he is free to choose between the path of virtue and the path of vice. But once he chooses a certain path, his destiny is sealed. He is not free anymore. Sometimes parents decide to send their child to a camp just for the summer months. But in this camp, the child unfortunately meets certain drug addicts, and the destiny of the child is already sealed forever. This lesson is symbolized by the manner in which it is determined which goat will be Adishem and which goat will be Azazel. The King God will put two lots into the urn, and one lot is inscribed Ladishem, and the other lot is inscribed Lazozel. One goat is placed on the right of the King Godel, the other goat is placed on the left of the King Godel. The King Godel then puts both hands in the urn, takes one lot in each hand, and places it upon the corresponding goat. This means that the single inattentive act by the King Godel of putting his hands in the urn without caution and inattentively seals the destiny of the goats. Symbolically, the law of Soiram Shaleach teaches us the lesson that while there is freedom of choice, the freedom is confined to the ability to exercise caution in choosing at the crossroads of life the path of virtue versus the path of vice. The law of Soira Mishtaleach symbolically teaches a fourth lesson. The fourth lesson is expressive of a hypothesis that was promulgated by the Maral Miprok in the first three prokim of the Sefer Netzach Yisrael. Curiously, the hypothesis of the Maral Miprok coincides with the dialectic philosophy of Hegel. Now, no Jew, not even the most enlightened Jews, who are ready to say that every one of Chachmei Yisrael adapted this from Aristotle and this from Plato, that the Rambam adapted the concept of the golden mean from Aristotle, ridiculous. The Rambam mentions the golden mean because that's the Gemara of Koham Halich, of but enlightened Jews are disposed to say that everything that the Rambam mentioned was stolen from this one and stolen from that one. But even these enlightened Jews will not be able to say that the Maral Miprog adapted it from Hegel, for the simple reason that Hegel lived 200 years after Maral Miprog. So perhaps Hegel adapted from Maral Miprog, but that the enlightened Jews will not say. According to Hegel, there is a triad law in nature of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. According to Hegel, reality has three aspects or stages. It is the unification of two contradictory elements, of two partial aspects of reality, which are not merely contrary, like black and white, but contradictory, like same and different. The first step is a preliminary affirmation and unification. The second, a negation and differentiation. The third, a final synthesis. For example, the plant is an initial unity of life, which when placed in its proper soil, suffers disintegration into its constituents. So the plant originally is the thesis. When the seed is placed in earth, so it's the antithesis. And so when it is placed in its proper soil, it suffers disintegration into its constituents, and yet, in virtue of its vital unity, keeps these divergent elements together and reappears in a new plant with all its members in unity. The Maral Miprog applies the very same hypothesis of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis, as Maral Miprog calls us, Dobo v'ipuchei v'hatshuva alazeh. So not Dobo is the thesis, hipuchei is the antithesis, and tshuva alazeh is the solution, is the synthesis. The Maral Miprog applies this very same hypothesis to spiritual and moral realities. He explains the destiny of the Jewish people on the basis of this triad law of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis, on the basis of the principle of Dovo v'Hipuchei. The covenant that Almighty God established with the Oves is the thesis. Golas Mitzrayim is the antithesis, and Yitzias Mitzrayim is the synthesis. The Maral Miprog says in the first three chapters of Netzach Yisrael that Gdushe on the part of the Tzaddikim provokes Tume by the Chaitim. How is it that in the Deir HaMidbar there was a substantial Tume? Such Chatoim like the Chet by Zimri, by Dosam Baviram, I mean the Deir HaMidbar was on such a madrege, they saw divinity with their eyes, they heard the Rebbeinu Shalom proclaim Onichi Adishem Alekecho, and still they sank so low. The answer is because of the overflow of Dushe that provoked to me thesis and antithesis. So the Maral Miprog says that Gdushe on the part of the Tzaddikim provokes Tume by the Chaitim, and the synthesis consists in Tshuve. In conformity to the Maral Miprog's hypothesis, the Torah requires the King Godel to offer two seirim, one seir the Soil Hashem, which is symbolic of Dushe, of Tare, of Tzedek and of Chesed. The other soil, the Soil Azazel, which is symbolic of Tume, of Rishes, of moral turpitude. Both goats have to be sacrificed to symbolize that Gdushe provokes Tume. So Gdushe is the thesis, and Tume, which takes place in the sinners as a reaction to the Gdushe of the Tzadikim, is the antithesis. And the synthesis consists in the three viduim that the King Godel recites on Yom Kippur. It behooves us to take notice of the fact that of the three viduim, only one vidu is recited by the King Godel over the Seiram Shaleach, namely the vidu for the Averes of Klal Yisrael. The other two viduim are recited by the King Godel over the Par. The first vidu over the Par is recited for the Averes of the King Godel and Beise and his family, and the second vidu is recited over the Par for the Averes of the Kahan. The question arises as to why the vidu for the Averes of the King Godel and the Kehanim are recited over the Par when the Seir Mishaleach is Mechaper for the Averes of the King Godel and Kehanim, and not the Par. The Medrash says, in connection with the Posik in Achimeis, Bezeis Yovei Arin El HaKedesh Bifar Ben Boko Lechatos Ve'ay Le'elo. Par Bemboko, says the Medresh, Ze Avrom, the par that the King Godel had to sacrifice on Yom Kippurim is symbolic of Avrom. Shenemar Vela Boko Rots Avrom. This means the par is symbolic of the Midah of Chesed personified by Avrom. The Midah of Chesed Avrom meted out to everyone, even toward Rishoyim, even toward Anshiz Deim. Avrom went to slaughter a par to serve to his unknown visitors, who he thought were pagans worshipping the dust of their feet. And I once heard from my father that he heard the Chaim say at one time that the fact that Avrom, the Torah tells us, according to our Chazal, that Avraham Avinu was so hospitable to the visitors who turned out to be angels, but Avraham didn't know at first that they were angels. He thought they were pagans who worshipped the dust of their feet, and that's the reason as to why he told them to wash their feet. So that teaches us that the Midah of Chesed has to be extended to everybody, to the biggest Rosh, even to a pagan who worships the dust of his feet. Avraham Avinu extended chesed to everybody. Subjectively, he thought that these visitors were not angels, were pagans. The reason as to why the King Godel recites the viduim for the Averes of the King Godel and the Kehanim over the Par, even though the Par is not Mechaper for the Averes, the Seir HaMishtaleach is Mechaper for the Averes, is because the Par symbolizes Chesed. The Soil Hashem is the thesis, and the Soil Azazel is the antithesis, and the synthesis consists in the King Godel and the Kehanim, the spiritual leaders of Israel, dedicating themselves to more and more chesed. The Tana de Vilio says, Eison Meo Elef Shenehergu B'Givas Binyomim Tnimane Hergu Eloisom Skinim Shehisha Yeshua Benun Leachar Ptirosei Hoyolem lage chavolim bimosneim, vilelech yimechot bilochish, yimechot bchevrein, yimechot bbeisel, yimechot bbeasheva, vyimechot bshrem, lilami teovide acheres al bnei Yisrael, veim liosukein, el kalechot oma, sholom alay nafshi, likach neagul eilu sheneagul, the 100,000 Jews who perished in the civil war between Shevet Binyamin and the other Shvatim, in Givas Binyamin. Why did they perish? How can we understand that? The Israelites who stood at the foot of Sinai, who attained such Kedusha, were able to sink so low as to have a civil war in which 100,000 Jews perished. How can it be explained? That's the kusha raised by the Tana de Belio. The answer given by Tana de Belio is that the elders, the sages who were living in Eretz Yisrael after the passing of Yeshua ben Nun, it was their burden and their obligation to gird rope around the loins and make the rounds in the Jewish towns in Eretz Yisrael and spend one day in Lachish, one day in Hebron, one day in Beisel, one day in Beersheba, and one day in Shechem, and teach Torah and morality to Jewish youth and Jewish masses. And they did not do it. Everyone said, I want peace of mind. This is the reason as to why 100,000 Jews perished. In the time of the Shaftim, there was an overflow of Dushe, of Abbotah's Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Pinchos was the spiritual leader of Klal Yisrael. Still, there was considerable Tumim in Eretz Yisrael. Kolish HaYosha Bein of Yase. Many Jews were dedicated to the Avizore of Pislei Shalmicho. Outrageous crimes were perpetrated in Givas Binyamin. How can that be explained? It can be explained on the basis of the Maral Miprox hypothesis of Dovari Puchei, namely of thesis and antithesis. The Gdusha and Arbotus Teva of Pinchos and the Skenim provoked Tume, but the Skenim were guilty of one omission or non-feasance as spiritual leaders of Klal Yisrael. They were obligated to resolve the problems created through the thesis and antithesis process by realizing a synthesis through more and more chesed and through more and more Arbotus Teira. They failed to do so. This is the reason as to why 100,000 of Jews perished in Givas Binyamin. There is one more basic lesson symbolically taught by the law of Seir HaMashaleach. The Mishnah in Shvuah says that the Seir HaMashaleach is mechaper on all averes, kalas chmuras, except one category of averes, namely the averes of Tumas Mikdash Vikodoshov, averes that entailed the contamination and desecration of the sanctuary and its sanctities. The averes of Tumas Mikdash Vikodoshov are not atoned by the Seir HaMashaleach. The Seir Hashem is mechaper for the averes of Tumas Mikdash Vikodoshov. It behooves us to understand as to why this category of averes is unique and is not capable of being atoned by the Seir HaMashaleach. Why is it that the Seir HaMashaleach affects kapore for all averes, but not for the averes comprised within the category of Tumas Mikdash Vikodoshov? Manishtano averes Tumas Mikdash Vikodoshov mikol averes shebateo. Then there is another curious halacha in respect to the viduim that the King Godel recites on Yom Kippurim. There is a general principle that whenever a person brings a korban for an avere, he has to be misvade for that avere over the korban. If one brings a chatos for eating chaylev, he has to be misvade for the avere of chaylev. If one brings an elo, and elo is mechaper al ese, he has to be misvade for the ese. It would follow logically that when the King Godel is makriv the soil Hashem, he should be misvade for the averes of Tumas Migdash v'Kadoshov. However, the Parsha in Achimeis does not mention such a vidu. The Gemara in Yume does not mention such a vidu. The Tereskeanim does not mention such a vidu. The Riv, the Rambam, the Rosh, and the Ramban don't mention it. There is one Miforesh HaTorah who does mention it. This is the Abadnel. But it seems that the Abadnel is a Ishitas Yochit. The Chizkuni says explicitly that there is no such vidu. He raises the question as to why there is no vidu for the averes of Tumas Migdash v'Kadoshov at the time of the Akrove of the Soil Hashem. And the answer is that if the King Godel would be Misvade, then there would be a gnai, a disgrace for the King Godel and for all the Kehanim. The question is, why is it a gnai? Why isn't it a gnai when a person who is Makrif Hatos, that's also Hashem, and he is Misvade, so why should there be gnai, a disgrace for the King Godel and the Kehanim, where if the King Godel would be Misvade for the Averes of Tumas Migdash v'Kadoshov? I think that all this can be explained on the basis of the Maral Mikprok's hypotheses of Dobo v'Yifuchei, of thesis and antithesis. The Soir HaMashaleach is Mechaper on Averes generally, because Averes generally take place under the law of Dobo v'Yifuchei, or thesis and antithesis, because Gdushe provokes Tume. Averes generally are natural. It is natural and normal for a person who sees the numerous and multifarious sacrifices that the lifestyle of Kedusha involves to rebel against this lifestyle and to say, Sholem Yali, Ki Vishrius Libi Eilech. However, it is not natural to commit the averes of Tumas Migdash v'Kadoshov. These averes do not take place as a reaction to the Kedusha of the Tzaddikim. The averes of Tumas Migdash v'Kadoshov, of desecrating and contaminating the sanctuary and its sanctities, take place usually as a result of a certain laxity, indifference, and chaos in the folds of the Kehanim, or the spiritual leaders in Israel. This is the reason as to why the Soir HaMashaleach is not mechaper for the averes of Tumas Migdash v'Kadoshov, because Soir HaMashaleach is only mechaper for averes that take place under the law of thesis and antithesis, because of the law that Kedusha provokes Tume. But the averes of Tumas Migdash v'Kadoshov do not take place under the law of Dovah v'Yipuchei. The Chizkuni says that the King Godel is not misvade for the averes of Tumas Migdash v'Kadoshov, because if he were misvade, it would be a gnai, a disgrace for the King Godel and all the Kehanim, for the spiritual leaders in Israel. If he were misvade, why would it be a disgrace? Because what's the usual formula of vidu? The King Godel says, Chotosi, Ono Hashem, Chotosi, Ovisi, Poshaiti, Kapano, Lachatoim, Laveinis, Shvlapshoim, Shechotosi, Aniu Veisi. And when he recites the vidu the second time over the par, he says again, Ono Hashem, Chotosi, Ovisi, Poshaiti, Aniu Veisi, the Amcho, ובני עמכו הקדישים עונה השם קפנו לחתויים ולאבניס ולאפשויים שחוטוסי ושאוביסי ושבשייתי אני ובייסוי ועמכו ועמכו הקיינים עמכו הקודש עמכו הקיינים. But if the King Godel had to be misvade for the averes of Tumas Mikdash Bekodashov, the Averis that entail the contamination of the sanctuary and its sanctities, then he couldn't be Misvade in that manner, Chotosi Avisi Peshaiti. Then he would have to say, Oshamnu Mikolom, Veishnu Mikolbeir. And this is a posik in Yirmiyah. Just a few more minutes. So one of the Meforshim of the Tanakh, the Rikaro, it's in the Mikroyes Deles. So he raises the question, why does Novi say, Kishtaim roi sosa ami, eisi ozvu mikir maim chayim, lachtziv lehem beris beris nishborim, ashal yochilo amoyim, implying that the greatest moral turpitude in the Chatoim of the Israelites consisted in the fact that not only did they forsake God, but they were loyal to the Avodah Zarah. And suppose they had not worshipped the Avodah Zarah, they had just become atheists and abandoned God, then the anger, the Harinaf, wouldn't be as great. Why? So the Rikaro says, Enochanami. Of course, if the Israelites had just forsaken God and had not dedicated themselves to the Avodah Zarah, then it could be explained. In other words, then there would be an extenuating circumstance, because G'dushe, he doesn't spell it out, but this is what he means. G'dushe provokes to me. It's natural to rebel against G'dushe. It is natural for Shlomit Aloni to rebel against the Torah and to fight Orthodox Judaism. It is natural. And of course it's a sin, but it's natural. It takes place under the law of thesis and antithesis. G'dushe provokes to me. There is a lot of G'dushe in Israel now, a lot of G'dushe. There are so many Bali Tshuvas. First of all, there are so many Bnei Yeshiva. Hundreds and hundreds of students are involved in learning. This is something that never happened in the course of centuries. The way it takes place now in Israel, it's indescribable. The dedication to Torah learning that we see in Israel, it's indescribable. It cannot even be explained. And there are so many Bali Tshuvas. A grandson of Yitzchak Grimbaum, I remember as a child of six how Yitzchak Grimbaum used to talk against Orthodox Judaism, a tight club, Torah Judentum, he used to say. I remember it as a child of six. His grandson is Ibn Torah, is a Balchube. One great grandson of Leon Trotsky is Ibn Torah. Another great grandson of Leon Trotsky is allegedly living in Chicago, and he's also Balchube. I know.